Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we'll be hearing from our new MEPs about some of the issues that have been keeping them occupied. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that have been making the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from Denmark and France for your pleasure as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme, Europe Today. Irish people are slightly ahead of their European counterparts when it comes to engagement with government departments via the internet. New figures from Eurostat show that the figure is at its highest in the 25 to 34 years of age bracket, with 56% usage. The rate of Irish people between 65 and 74 years of age engaging with state departments or e-government is just 23%. Grace Bolton, head of press for the European Commission in Ireland, says, "We have some way to go to catch up with Danish users of e-government."
When it comes to consulting government websites, Irish citizens are quite close to the EU average, with 46% consulting such websites during the year. This compares with 9% in Romania and a high of 89% in Denmark.
Ireland is one of the poorest performers in the EU when it comes to spending on environmental protection. New figures from Eurostat show we spend 0.4% of our GDP income in this sector, behind the EU average of 0.8%. The Netherlands is top of the EU table, spending 1.4% of its gross domestic income on environmental matters. Gerry Keighley, who heads up the European Commission representation in Ireland, says the spend is very disappointing.
Well, Ireland's expenditure on environmental protection is only at the level of one third of the EU average as a percentage of GDP, which is not sufficient given that Ireland sells itself so much on its green image.
The percentage of homes occupied by Irish people which are classed as overcrowded is the lowest in Europe, according to new figures from Eurostat. However, the figures show that 10% of non-nationals in Ireland live in overcrowded houses, which puts us third from the bottom. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says the figures show significant levels of families in former communist states live in overcrowded homes.
Comes to overcrowding as recorded by Eurostat, Romania and Bulgaria record the highest rates of over 45% for their own citizens. By contrast, Ireland recorded a rate of 1% for its own citizens and 10% for non-EU nationals and other EU nationalities living in Ireland.
Ireland spends the least amount of money on defence in Europe as a percentage of our GDP. New figures from Eurostat show we are bottom of the EU defence spending table out of 27 member states. Grace Bolton of the EU representation in Ireland says the figures show that the Baltic states and countries such as Luxembourg, where the population is one third that of Dublin City, spend more on defence than Ireland.
The average EU country spends 1.2% of their GDP on defence. However, countries like Latvia and Estonia spend as much as 2% on defence, and islands like Ireland and Malta spend as little as 0.34%.
Yeah.
Irish people continue to be the most optimistic in Europe about EU membership. A new Eurobarometer report shows that 73% of people here feel the interests of Ireland are well taken care of by the EU. The survey reveals that Irish trust in the EU at 58% is up 11 points on last year. Gerry Keighley, who is head of EU representation in Ireland, says the figures completely dismiss Irish scepticism about EU membership.
One interesting point in the Eurobarometer is that 73% of Irish people believe that their interests are well taken account of by the EU, which is in stark contradiction to the Eurosceptic argument that their interests are not respected by the EU.
Concerns about housing have been identified as the most important issue facing the country by almost 6 in every 10 people in Ireland. Only in Luxembourg does a greater proportion of the population, 71%, rate accommodation as the number one issue, according to figures from Eurobarometer. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says that, by comparison, housing is not an issue at all in Lithuania and Greece.
The latest Eurobarometer asked citizens to identify the most important issue facing their country. 59% of Irish respondents and 71% of Luxembourg respondents identified housing as the number one issue facing their country. This contrasts with Lithuania, Greece and Estonia, where only 1% of respondents named housing.
Ireland remains below the EU average when it comes to establishing new businesses. A new figure from Eurostat showed that only 8.2% of businesses in Ireland are newly formed. This is slightly behind the EU average of 9.3%. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Ireland says the figures show that the proportion of new businesses in Lithuania is twice the EU average.
These Eurostat figures on the proportion of new businesses within the economy show that Ireland is quite close to the EU average, with 1 in 10 businesses being newly established ones. This contrasts with Lithuania, where 1 in 5 businesses were new, and Greece, where only 1 in 20 businesses were new.
Ireland has a greater proportion of households with 3 or more children under 18 than anywhere else in Europe. New figures from the Dublin-based Eurofound agency show that at 7%, that's more than double the EU average. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says countries in southern Europe have the lowest proportion.
This Eurofound report tells us that across the EU, only 3% of all households have 3 or more children under 18. While Ireland has over twice this rate, countries like Italy, Bulgaria and Portugal have less than 2% of households with 3 children under 18.
The European Commission recently unveiled details of a major initiative to create greater protection for digital users. It is expected to address issues such as online privacy, artificial intelligence, security and operating standards. Gerry Keighley is head of the EU representation in Ireland. He says the key objective will be to ensure that personal online data is protected and not manipulated by corporate companies.
Well, there's no question but the digital economy is growing and it will continue to become more and more important in the lives of our citizens. And what we're aiming to ensure is that the citizen is the beneficiary from the growth of the digital market and not just multinationals.
Ireland continues to be the worst performer in Europe when it comes to using renewable energy for home heating. New figures from Eurostat show that we are joint bottom of the renewable energy chart with the Netherlands, with just 6% usage. Grace Bolton is head of press with the European Commission office in Dublin. She says Sweden leads the way, where the use of renewable energy is now up to 65%.
Across the EU, 21% of energy used to heat and cool buildings comes from renewable sources. In Ireland and the Netherlands, only 6% of such energy comes from renewable sources. And at the opposite end of the scale, 2/3 of heating sources in Sweden are from renewable sources.
Ireland is slightly ahead of the EU average when it comes to remote working. New figures from Eurostat show that 6.5% of us work from home compared to the EU average of 5.2%. However, 7.2% of Irish men work from home compared to 5.7% of Irish women. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says Finland and the Netherlands top the table for teleworking at 15%.
Across the EU, an average of 5% of employed people work from home. Ireland has a slightly higher rate of teleworking at 6.5%, and the highest rate in the whole EU is noted in Finland and Netherlands at 13 and 14%.
Women in Ireland receive 27% less than men in pension entitlements. New figures from Eurostat show, however, that the gap has narrowed from a differential of 35% in 2010. The gap exists because many women who leave the paid workforce to raise children make fewer PRSI payments. Gerry Keighley of the European Commission office in Dublin says more needs to be done to rectify the situation.
Well, the Irish situation is better than the average in Europe, and the trend is in a positive direction. Nevertheless, a gap of 27% between a woman and a man's pension is unacceptable, and it needs to be rectified as soon as possible.
Dublin is now the second worst city in the EU for traffic congestion. New figures from the European Commission show that Dublin motorists lose 246 hours per year because of it. Only Rome, where drivers lose 250 hours annually, is worse than Dublin. And Budapest is the least congested. Gerry Keighley of the EU representation in Ireland says the amount of hours lost by motorists in Dublin has adverse effects on the economy.
Dublin is the second worst capital in Europe for traffic congestion. The average commuter loses about 246 hours per year, which is a major cost to the person, to the commuter and to the economy.
Irish people have more concerns about internet security than the average EU citizen. New figures from Eurobarometer show that 53% of Irish people are concerned about misuse of personal data compared to the EU average of 46%. And 52% of Irish people are more concerned about online payments compared to the EU average of 41%. Grace Bolton of the European Commission Office in Dublin says Irish people appear to be more internet savvy about online activity than their EU counterparts.
This Eurobarometer report on cybersecurity reveals that Irish consumers are more concerned than the EU average about someone misusing their personal data online, about the security of their online payments, and a third of Irish people are concerned that they're not able to speak to a real person when buying goods or services. This compares with a quarter across the EU.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Irish people were taken in by countries throughout history, so it would be hypocritical if we refused migrants now, says Ciarán Cuff. The Green MEP has been speaking following a debate in the European Parliament this week on the situation at the Greek-Turkish border. Ireland should take a multiple of the numbers who have already arrived with us, he says.
I think we should be looking at numbers. I think we should make a commitment to...
How many?
I don't have that figure at the top of my head, but I think it would be a multiple of those that we've already taken. I know that wouldn't be difficult to do, but I think we do need to show leadership in this. I mean, the flip side of this is that Irish people on many occasions left our shores when they couldn't sustain themselves at home, and other countries were willing and able to take them. So it would be quite two-faced if we were to pull up the drawbridge at this stage.
Gender equality objectives must not ignore women who do not work, says Fine Gael's Mairead McGuinness. The first Vice President of the European Parliament has welcomed the new EU gender equality strategy, which aims to achieve a gender equal Europe by 2025. Although equality has improved in Ireland, the number of women in senior positions in business, politics and our universities remains woefully low. Mairead McGuinness says that whilst tackling those targets is important, equality should also support those women who are carers for children or relatives and are not in the workplace.
I always worry a little if the focus is only on more women on boards and more women in public life. Of course, they're very important. But remember that for the vast bulk of women, they struggle with daily things like looking after family, looking after elderly parents. Do they get enough voice? I don't think so. I think the real issues that women face in family life need to be addressed. If it doesn't improve the lives of women and improve gender equality, then the words are wasted. But I suppose you have to start with words, and you have to start with a conviction and a passion. And we have a female president of the Commission. I'm a first VP of the Parliament. I don't see why we cannot translate those words into action. But it has to be focused on all women.
The coronavirus has caused the European Parliament to be shut down. The plenary session that was originally scheduled for Strasbourg this week was shifted to Brussels and then cut short. Next week's committee meetings have now been cancelled. Most of the staff are expected to work from home, leaving the corridors eerily quiet, as Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan explains.
Normally the walkways here, the plenary, the meeting rooms would be absolutely chock-a-block. You'd see people running about the place. We're not seeing that. We're not seeing it in the airports. We're not seeing it generally, because people are taking own initiative to work from home. Next week there will be no committee meetings face to face, so we know next week it'll be teleconferencing, but there will be decisions that will need to be taken.
The coronavirus is the biggest test to Europe in a generation. That's according to Francis Fitzgerald. The former Tánaiste is extremely worried about the outbreak spreading. Recently, EU leaders promised to do a better job at coordinating efforts. Irish health ministers now expect to be in daily contact with their European counterparts. A package of funding amounting to €140 million is also being put in place by the EU to boost virus research. Dublin MEP Francis Fitzgerald says European neighbours need to cooperate with each other and share knowledge.
We need to share best practice on holding events and gatherings. Some countries are saying 1,000, others are saying gatherings of 5,000. So what is the science telling us? Citizens will get confused, authorities will be confused. If we don't lay out the criteria, at what point do you decide it's 500, 1,000, 5,000? I think there is best practice in relation to that, depending the point that the pandemic is at, and that needs to be understood, shared, agreed across Europe. We should be very worried. This is the biggest test of Europe and European solidarity, I would say, in a generation. This is life and death. This is people's health. Our most vulnerable and also, of course, our most marginalised can be really threatened by the coronavirus. This is very fast moving, so we can understand some delays, but we've got to begin to really get this together now in terms of cooperation. It's about the unison, it's about getting together and making sure that we share best practice and make it clearly understood across Europe.
The livelihoods of fishermen in Ireland are in jeopardy because of the coronavirus. Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan is warning. The virus has interrupted the transporting of brown crabs and other Irish seafood destined for China. And without the guarantee of speedy delivery, the Chinese will stop buying. It is a potential disaster for Ireland's seafood fleet. Grace O'Sullivan is calling for the EU to step in and support Irish fishermen.
There is an absolute economic impact on the fishers. They're not being able to get the guarantee of getting the supplies over to China in time, so that they're still fresh because they're perishable items. So we are calling for support both in Ireland and from the EU so that small and medium businesses particularly are supported in terms of loss of income.
Brexit is the number one concern for Sinn Féin's new MEP, Chris McManus. Although the UK and the EU agreed the terms in the withdrawal agreement, the Irish protocol needs to be put into practice in time for next year. Sinn Féin's new Midlands Northwest MEP arrived in Brussels recently, only to see the voting session cut short by the coronavirus. The European Parliament will go into virtual shutdown next week. All committee meetings have been cancelled. Chris McManus is disappointed not to be able to get stuck in, but he says he will be working hard to get to know his constituency.
One wants to come in here and get your feet wet immediately, but unfortunately that's not to be the case. But in saying that, I have a massive constituency back home. It's 13 counties. I have a big team of new Sinn Féin TDs across the constituency that I will be engaging with, both as an Irish Republican and as an MEP in a predominantly border constituency. The priority has to be Brexit. We have to ensure that, you know, we work as best as possible to ensure there's no hardening of the border. I'm an accidental MEP, but I'm excited by it. I want to take this mantle and I want to run with gusto with it. If there's another general election, I will just talk with the leadership of our party. I will talk to local activists and those who've worked with me tirelessly over the years, and we will take that as it comes. But as I said, at this time, I'm an MEP. I'm on that steep learning curve. I'm really excited by it.
Self-isolating healthcare workers in Cork bring home the fact that no one is immune to coronavirus, says Deirdre Clune. The Ireland South MEP says she has been washing her hands red raw. The official advice from the government and World Health Organization emphasizes the importance of thorough washing of hands with soap and water. Deirdre Clune says she understands people's concerns, but believes the measures being taken are necessary.
It is a worry. Our healthcare services are under pressure with this, and we do depend on those that are on the front line, particularly those in the public health area. And I know they've been working around the clock and working towards getting information out to try and contain this. So it is worrying that there are healthcare workers around, but they're not. They are self-isolating for precautionary reasons, and hopefully
that'll bear fruit and it would have been seen to be worthwhile. But it brings it close home, you know, there's everywhere, nobody is immune, no area is immune from this, particularly small and medium enterprises, because they're the ones that are most affected, because if they're they want to keep their staff and keep going, businesses down, and they want to just get through this. So there may be measures in terms of relieving fiscal rules, using some flexibility there, looking at state aid rules. They're all the tools that are available.
There is a lack of trust between the UK and the EU teams negotiating the next stage of Brexit, according to an Irish MEP. Talks started last week with a view to Britain being able to sign a free trade agreement with the EU by the end of the year. Both sides have been talking tough. Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews is critical of what he calls the intransigence, but he believes a basic deal can still be achieved this year.
There's enough common ground there, as far as I'm concerned, for all of this to be resolved, even though we're dealing with a very tight time frame. I think we're really just dealing with a bare bones type of trade agreement between now and the end of the year, and a lot of can kicking in respect of all the other parts of a normal, you know, investment side, services side, etc. There is nothing to show for it, and you ask an Irishman, you trust Britain in negotiations. You know, it's about trust and verification, and there is a mechanism there, the Joint Committee, and I understand they'll meet for the first time at the end of this month. I think there'll have to be a demonstrable proof of good intentions and good faith by then. I don't know what shape that would be, but, you know, we have been an awful long time at this, and for us in Ireland, this is critical. This is a turning point. And we just, you know, the old constructive ambiguity won't do anymore. We're now into an end stage.
Women still face many of the challenges identified 25 years ago, despite international efforts to counter gender inequalities. So says the European Parliament, which recently called on EU countries to take strong action against all measures undermining women's rights. A sizable majority of MEPs backed the resolution, demanding action to counter the backlash against gender equality. The Fine Gael MEP Francis Fitzgerald says the Parliament is developing a new strategy on gender issues.
There are issues now that we want to focus on, such as, for example, the gender digital gap that's emerging, where less women are doing STEM subjects, science subjects, and with the developments of AI and digital and technology, we're going to have an even bigger pension gap if women don't get into these areas. We have an unbelievable 40% pension gap at present between women and men for a whole variety of reasons. So we have to look at that issue. The gender pay gap, making sure that we have binding pay transparency measures so companies, media organisations and so on have to publish pay scales. And then there's the broader issues around the world of development aid, and we empower young women.
C'est failli. Pourtant c'est vrai, la surprise est de taille. Quel est le fin mot de cette histoire de fou allié? Y avait-il un défaut, un vice caché? Histoire de fou allié, un jour amiral.
afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. And don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme, and it'll have a link to some of the issues that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week for your programme, Europe Today.